big show today because it is a not crossover crossover podcast between the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast
and Football 301.
We got so much coming for you today. It is the first mock draft Monday of draft season here on both feeds.
Yeah.
That is pretty electric. Nate and Charles give us three-ish of their favorite picks from their most recent mock draft. The boys also give us several prospects they're willing to stand on the table for. Everything you need to know about a little NFL draft fan fiction coming up on today's show. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
It's Monday, March 3rd. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to, I'm not calling this a crossover pod between the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast and Football 301 because, I mean, we're all on like the shows anyways. This is not a crossover pod. This is a kill two birds with one stone podcasting event. Again, I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the show. With me are my two pals, Nate Tice, Charles McDonald. Charles, how you feeling, buddy?
I've been better. This is day five in Indianapolis.
You sound like day five in Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, I sound like a week in New Orleans plus a bachelor party plus a week in Indianapolis all combined together, which is what I've been on the past 3 weeks.
Here we are.
I got one more night in me and then out of here. I'm going to rest my voice for a week. Then I'm going to Miami next weekend for a wedding.
So. Oh, that's
just a nice little soft landing.
At least Miami's a nice sleepy town.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, good. So I'm alive.
Nate, what's good, buddy?
Not much. I feel great now after my 12 hours with splotchy skin and everything. So we're doing great at the Football 301 and the Fantasy Forecast and everything. No, but I actually am feeling awesome end of the week. And rearing to go.
All right, so this is our first official on the Fantasy Feed Mock Draft Monday. We did these last year where we brought on some of the best minds in the industry and asked them to give us five fits from their most recent mock draft that they absolutely loved. You guys know this as extremely serious mock drafters that, you got to make 32 of these picks. You probably don't love all of them. You probably don't give a damn about, I don't know, half of them. But
only half.
But there's got to be a few that you really like and you wanted to use a Nate term, do a little fan fiction about. That's what this show is all about. So couldn't get any great minds, so we had to get these two on here. Nate did one last year, actually. So we're not going to do five because that's a big burden. We're going to do three from Nate. Three from Charles.
So we're going to do six.
But combined. So it's combined. Yeah, combined brain powers, I think can make this work. So that's what we're going to do. Let's get it started here with which one of you guys wants to go first? Let's have Nate go first. Okay. Nate, your three fits, give us number one that you absolutely loved.
I think producer Colin brought up that last year. I think I gave Cooper DeJean to the Eagles, but that was first round. So might work, but
I think you also tried to give Cooper DeJean to like five teams people.
Graham Barton, Cooper DeJean, and Brock Bowers were like my three guys. I tried to fan fiction
that could
into
have
them,
been so. A third of the mock.
Yes, it was great. But this one, and this is kind of one of these favorite fits, and Charles probably is up this, same line of thinking because we always try to manufacture this one a little bit. But that's Jalen Walker from Georgia. Arizona Cardinals at pick 16.
Hey, don't give away the secret sauce of the mock draft.
Because it's one of these that we have that in our head that's like, this works. Because is Walker an edge? Is he an off-ball player? I don't care. I just want him in my front seven. He's going to be pretty high on my updated big board. He's been in the top 10 for a while. He's probably going to be a little bit higher than that. Walker's a great pass rusher. He moves all over the defensive front for Georgia. Sometimes that's bad, though, because you just run a normal front and just run normal defenses. But you get to see some versatility. He plays hard. He's a very smart player. Adds pass rush. And with that creative Cardinals defense, that kind of feels like one I really like to see. Another one is okay.
Well, let's go one at a time. Okay.
You said all three, so I wasn't sure. I was like, you want me to go 15 minutes?
Yeah, don't unload the clip here. So with Jalen Walker, I loved how you guys described this in the write-up that he just does stuff.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals defense just does stuff.
Yep.
So I can see how that's an interesting fit. Charles, you're obviously a Georgia guy. Tell the people who are out there that don't know anything about Jalen Walker, like kind of what type of player he is.
He's a freak. Like, I remember one of the first Jalen Walker moments I remember was, I think he was a freshman. He was a little smaller than he is now, a little faster too, but they had him spying Jalen Milroe in the SEC championship game. He was obviously finding those plays. Where they messed up was they double spy, which is like a little bit too much sometimes because when he broke contain, backside guy couldn't catch him, and just it honestly just didn't matter that you had two guys on him. But the fact you were that athletic to do something like that at that size, it's pretty impressive. And then this year, you know, you go to the Texas game. They played at Texas. I think three sacks, just a tear off the edge, tear through the middle. I don't know if he's like a pure edge rusher, which is where people get hung up on this their opinions with him, but in the Cardinals defense, that doesn't really matter because he can just play anywhere. And I think he can be just, you know, the way they like the way that Brian Flores kind of uses his linebackers, that's where I see Jalen Walker having success in the NFL.
And then, like, I know Cardinals fans will be like, I'm another tweener defender.
Is this the team that drafted back my head
Hassan Reddick and Isaiah Simmons? But no, Walker is kind of a different animal. Like, and really, that pass rushing juice is enough that he's going to be a useful player in that way. But I just think some of the off-ball stuff, I'm glad he brought up, like, the spy stuff. Cardinals do that. Like, it's – that's why this defense just makes a lot of sense for me for him, because it's like, yeah, is he a quote-unquote a tweener? It's more like he's versatile. And I think in a versatile defense, it makes sense.
Yeah, I like this a lot. And it feels like a defensive-heavy offseason is coming for the Arizona Cardinals, because there's a couple of little tweaks here and there they can make on offense, but that defense is – I'm not going to call it a full blank slate. They've got some interesting pieces over there. Obviously, Buda Baker and the boys. But, like, at the same time, yeah, definitely some additions there. So, I like that one. You know what? Let's actually alternate here because I think that makes sense. So, Charles, you give me one of yours.
Yeah, one of mine that I was really excited for. Omarion Hampton, the running back from UNC, getting drafted by the Commanders, 29th overall. I just think it's a fun fit. You know, you have this slender, it's like Slenderman quarterback who's really fast. Then you just pair him with a quarterback. You pair him with a running back just bruising. But, yeah, Hampton's got speed, too. You know, he's not just, you know, a one-trick pony in terms of just running guys over. I think he can be a big play threat in the NFL. And when you pair him with a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, who is going to give you opportunities to run the ball. I mean, shoot, we just saw what happened with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson this year. Life is a lot easier when your quarterback can, you know, command the attention of the defense. So, for him, I think that that's kind of like a nice base for them to grow with for the next few years. You know, you have your quarterback. Offensive line paid better than we thought it would last season. Mm-hmm. And then you just pair a big bruising running back that has home run ability. That's a good pickup, I think, for them. And I also, you know, kind of just from, like, chatting around this week, 29, he might not be on the board.
Yeah, right.
He really might not be
reading here. Between the lines with some stuff. It's like, oh, and that's why I think others others are staying this way. It might be three running backs in the first round. So, I like Hampton a lot. He's my running back, too. He reminds me a lot of Joe Mixon. That's kind of be the guy. And that kind of three-down ability, too, would be great in this offense. Can catch. I love what you're saying about being a bruiser. This was, like, one of my favorite ones that Charles threw in here on the mock. So, it was like, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense because – Brian Robinson had a nice year when he was healthy, and being big and running through the line as Jaden Daniels with all, you know, everybody had so many eyes on him. Hampton's got even a little more juice. He's got a little bit more overall ability, I would say, than Robinson, even though Robinson did have a nice year. So I really like this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to find this stat. There's no way I'm going to be able to find it because I don't even remember where I wrote it down. But their run game, just like their running back runs, were pretty poor by the end of the season and into the postseason. So I actually like this a lot. I did not see this one coming from a mock draft perspective, but this would be, I mean, because the Cliff Kingsbury run game, Nate, like it is interesting. I think it was well designed last year, but again, I think they kind of ran out of gas. And now is that a running back issue? Is it you know, an offensive line talent issue? Right. I think an injection of talent into the backfield probably could help a little bit.
Yeah, and the Commanders could also go defense, and I wouldn't bat an eye, right? They could draft pretty much any position except defensive tackle. And I'm like, yep, that makes sense. So that's also like where they could go. But like you're saying, is like that kind of felt when Robinson started getting banged up. Eckler is like a nice role player right now. And he had a nice year too. But it's like, yeah, they just need that guy, the James Conner role in the Cardinals offense when Cliff Kingsbury was there. And same kind of thing where you get the bruiser with the fast running back or fast quarterback. So yeah, kind of same thing. They missed that bruising element to get the 4, 5, 6 yard gains.
Yeah, and I think from like a dynasty rookie draft perspective, the only thing that's really set in stone is that like Ginty's going to go one.
Yeah.
I think Hampton probably should be again, this is so stupid. Who cares? We don't even know where these guys are going to play.
Right.
But right now, I'd guess second running back in a first round like that, he's probably the favorite for the second. And I like this landing spot. It's one where I could even see him from like a rookie year redraft perspective being pretty interesting. So I love Hampton. We were talking about it on Thursday, Charles, that he comes from that the Eric Stoner school of big back with balance.
Yeah.
That's a guy that I think could be worth a first round pick. Nate, okay, give me another one of yours.
This is one, and I hate to draft for like, oh, the new offensive coordinator, but I did it. And that's Tyler Warren, tight end from Penn State, going to the Seahawks at 18. I actually liked a lot of ours in like the late teens. Yeah. They're all grouped up around there. But Warren might go earlier than this, like especially you know as this week goes along. But he is a three down in line tight end that creates yards after catch, can block in line, can create take the top off, can line up over the offense too, offensive formation. But what with Clint Kubiak now, the offensive coordinator with the Seahawks, they're figuring out Lockett. We've talked about that a little bit with. I think he wants to be a two tight end guy. That's what Shanahan Kubiak guys are. And so being a two tight end guy, they have Noah Fant, but Noah Fant's career is kind of plateaued.
It's also probably a cut candidate just based on the salary.
Great call. And then A.J. Barner, I really like from Michigan that they had last year. Also another three down guy that can play in line a little bit. But Warren's got a little more juice. And I think having these two tight ends that can line up kind of all over, can line up in line, would also make sense for the run game that Kubiak wants to implement. Warren could even be that kind of de facto fullback on some stuff. Like, and I know you don't want your first round pick to be a fullback, but it's creating mismatches. That's what he creates. So this is one that I kind of like a tight end to the Seahawks as I've really been thinking about their pass catchers and what they need. And this makes sense as far as a personnel thing that Kubiak likes. If they go guard here, I totally would understand. But it was just, I think, in our mock, we had some guards shoot off right before that. So this is a way to kind of move off of that.
Yeah, I got a comment about our mock draft saying that somebody said if the Seahawks take a tight end in the first round, they would eat the tweet saying that they took a tight end in the first round.
Noted.
Noted, because I really don't think that that's that crazy.
It's not that crazy at all.
You know, when you start, like you said, we start sorting through some of the contracts they have, the players they have available, the offensive coordinator they just hired. We know when you look at this offense, tight ends are really important. So I think Tyler Warren makes a lot of sense. And you know, you can still do some funky stuff with him. You know?
Like, that's why I think it's interesting.
Dude, the Wildcat stuff, being that big and being able to take a snap and run with the ball, that's
that vision.
Crazy level athleticism. So I'm, you know, he's one of those guys where I wish I'd seen him run this week, but I don't need to see him run to know that he's a freak athlete. It will be a great pro.
It's one that, as far as just the pass catchers, as far as like getting a blocking tight end like this or a guy that can block like this, that helps your run game too. Especially if you run outside zone. So like that's why it's not just getting a guard and maybe just value wise then and it's a loaded tight end class too, but then you maybe get that guard on day two, you can still work out that. So this is one that's really been growing on me, is that a tight end of some sort going to the Seahawks.
And I'm glad that you picked this one because it's not one that I've seen before. Typically, like you said, he does go higher than this in mock drafts. But yeah, from like a pass catcher perspective on Seattle's roster, they got DK Metcalf, and I think I'm interested with how he fits as the X receiver in this offense because it is more of those in-breaking routes and stuff like that as opposed to verticals and comebacks and curls and stuff like that. That's not DK's best stuff, but I think that was kind of the X receiver route tree and Ryan Grubb's offense. So interested to see how he fits there. JSN, I love JSN's game. I think he'll fit into any system. But then if they do cut Lockett, it drops off to Jake Bobo's a nice utility player, but that's it at the receiver position. He'll have some moments in an offense like this too, like as the power slot, fitting up the run and stuff like that. But the tight end room, they could use just an overall like a nice little outlet option. And then if he does anything to the run game, I mean, that is the thing that caught my attention in the kind of press conference for Clint Kubiak was they were very excited about Kenneth Walker first and foremost. And I think he fits really well in this system. And Charles, getting him a guy that can block on the edge like that, even higher upside for sure.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the fit. Big fan of the fit.
Yeah, I think this one, that's my favorite one so far. I think if I'm, which nobody asked me to do, if I was to rank these three, I think I would go Tyler Warren to the Seahawks, Walker to the Cardinals, and then Hampton to the Commanders. But these are all really good so far, boys. Wow. You guys are absolutely crushing it.
Oh, thank you.
You are welcome. Appreciate it.
I was terrified that you wouldn't approve.
I love how we forced you to do the Hampton one, too. He ranks it third.
Don't spoil. Don't pull the killer curtain back. Come on now.
But your next one, I'm going to guess, is going to be... Because I probably have the same one. So.
I don't know. We'll see.
Before we get to that,
we
are going to take our first break so that I can recover from the slights and slanders thrown my way as the arbiter of what is a situation. Okay, that's enough. We're going to take a first break. When we come back, we'll talk through three more fits that these boys love right after this. All right, we're back as we continue our not crossover podcast here on the Fantasy Forecast Football 301 feed. Let's get into three more fits that you guys absolutely love from your most recent mock draft. Charles, I will throw this one to you.
Sometimes 1 + 1 = 2, yeah. Right? And I think with this one, how many times have we mocked Jahad Campbell to the Tampa Bay?
Because it makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense.
For everything.
For everyone involved. They need a linebacker. Lavonte David, I don't know if he's going to continue playing.
Yeah. Still yeah, deciding 35, on that. Yeah.
Regardless, they need an upgrade either way. And it seems like there's one real linebacker prospect in this class that has first-round potential, and that's Jahad Campbell from Alabama. So he ran a 4.52
yep.
yesterday. At what
235, but yeah. You probably carry it a little lighter
yeah.
to run that.
A little lighter, right?
He's 6'3", 240 though, probably.
Right. So he might play. I think he's gonna play close, probably 240, 245.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a 4.6, like 4.58 type deal. But still, that's plenty fast enough.
Yes.
At that size, and man, it's just in a world where college football has done such a bad job at developing linebacker talent, and really. Front seven talent in general
yeah,
is not – yeah. They're playing a totally different sport than what yep. they get to in the NFL.
Yep.
It's kind of cool to see a guy who just looks like a premier linebacker. It's fast, hits, covers.
Yep. Great blitzer.
Simple. Great blitzer.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who are saying he should play edge rusher
yeah.
in the NFL. I don't agree
with that.
But Tampa Bay needs a linebacker.
Yep.
He's a really good one. Might be the only truly good one. So.
And also with that blitzing stuff. Oh, Todd Bowles. All right, there we go.
Yeah,
easy,
go.
Easy. Yep. And so it's how he wants to use him coverage-wise, run-fit-wise, or as a blitzer, or even just like what Devin White made hay with was just being that green dog blitzer. Oh, I'm man-to-man coverage. Oh, he's blocking. I'm running right at him. But even just things like that, like even you just wrote it. Charles was right. It says, when life gives you lemons, you know the rest. Because yeah. that's exactly how this fit.
Like,
this fit just makes a lot of sense. And where he's kind of ranked on big boards. It's
yeah.
generally in that kind of 18 to 24 range, 15 to 25 range, even for me. So that's where it's like all this makes sense.
He's my favorite non-wide receiver in the draft is Campbell. I love this guy. And, we're recording this, obviously, on Friday. He measured in yesterday, did his workouts yesterday at the Combine. And Daniel Jeremiah posted, like, his height, weight. We'll show it on YouTube, the tweet. But height, weight, wingspan, and compared it to Fred Warner. Campbell actually has, like, a longer wingspan
yeah.
Than Fred Warner. And I sent that to him because he – was on this mock draft show last year talking about how the NFL might start to prioritize these like taller longer
yeah.
wingspan linebackers to clog up these middle of the field passing lanes. And it was just, again, it was just clicked because he said this last year, this is the best linebacker prospect in the class. It seems to line up so perfectly. And for Tampa Bay, man, they could go anywhere
yeah.
on defense, another team like that, and you can't really quibble with it. So why not just get, I'm not going to call him like a transformative player, but like the idea of a linebacker that you guys are describing, you stick him in the middle of your defense, you fix up a coverage issue, you fix
yeah.
up a pass rush issue, and obviously a run stop issue as well. That can be just kind of like a waterfall effect on the rest of the unit.
That's exactly it. And even Bowles mentioned like, so maybe this is kind of convoluting our idea here, but he said that we can't blitz as much as we did because they had the highest blitz, third down blitz rate on record
yeah.
at the end of last year after their bye week. It was hysterical. But even that's part of the reason it's getting Campbell set and then being a part of that, like maybe he does be part of that pass rush or anything, but that's why just shoring things up. And Jason Light does a really good job of like, hey, we bridge between the past and the future with our guys. They try to do it on defensive lines, been kind of a mixed bag, but he does a really great job of straddling that. So even if they have Lavonte David for a 1-year deal vet, like, hey, this is our send off. Like, that would make sense. But, yeah, he just does a good job of, like, finding those holes before they become huge holes.
Yeah, Jason Light was on NFL Daily with our buddy Greg Rosenthal
yeah.
and was talking about, yeah, it was just pretty clear by, the end that we had too many issues on one side of the ball in particular. And I was like, okay, well,
okay.
we
noted.
Gotcha. We know what the focus is. So, yeah, love that one, Charles. That instantly goes up to my number one spot.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That really made my day.
Yeah, no problem, man. I think I can see like the rosiness in your eyes. You're coming back to life. The voice maybe even might start to get a little softer.
Maybe. We'll see.
Probably not. Nate, give me another one of yours.
So I this is classic me. I've yet to hear his name out loud, so I'm going to butcher it. But that's Jahdae Barron, corner DB, I would say, from Texas, going to the Vikings at pick 24. While I would rather maybe have a plugger for the Vikings, this is kind of like our little fan fiction we talk about the Vikings need is like just gives them beef in the middle. I think Barron's versatility. He is probably going to end up in the slot as in the NFL level, which is a full-time starter and on a defense that runs a lot of nickel and dime. That's, yeah, full-time starter. So with him, Metellus, this kind of creativity of a Brian Flores defense, that's what it makes sense for me or him to go there because of that he can line up everywhere, because he's a great blitzer off the slot or just even on other ways too. But and he can be a coverage guy, better in zone. I think he's going to be a full-time slot guy, but of course he's lined up all over the defense. Kind of reminds me of a more juiced up, I don't say more juiced up, just a little more twitchy Sainerstill, who's with Mike Sainerstill, who's with the Commanders, was with Michigan. Yeah, great rookie season. He was supposed to be just a slot, right, and he bumps out to the outside because he was versatile, and it was like, wow, you're actually pretty good out there. I even didn't assess him that way. I was like, maybe I'd rather have him inside. Same kind of thing here. Vikings need outside corners. Both of them are free agents right now. And maybe he goes there, but I think this is a needle mover on a defense that does a lot with tweeners and guys that are more B players. Maybe get someone that's more of a needle mover at that position and also a versatile chess piece for Flores.
Yeah. Makes Charles?
No, I think it's a good fit. And it just feels funny to say about a defense that was as good as they were last year. They need more players. But they do need more players because it's too manicured. You know, it's too orchestrated by Flores. It's when you have to get down to that meticulous level of game planning and you're trying to hide that many players, keeping in very specific roles, you probably need a little infusion of talent on that side of the ball.
It's a good thing you have coaches that can do it. But what do you notice when the playoffs happens? Like, oh, man, having good players really helps too. So, you know, don't always – like everything gets tighter and tighter and tighter as the season goes along. Sometimes you just need players to take over or create something that's not there.
Yeah, and I think we're moving in the right direction with that Flores defense in terms of, like, acquiring talent, because the first year was just like, let's throw it at the wall and see what sticks. Second year, you get a little more talent infusion there. First-round pick like this would make a ton of sense to clean some things up there, so I like that one. All right, Charles, give me another one of yours.
I'm going to go with a homer pick, Georgia safety Malachi Starks, Miami Dolphins at 13.
Yeah.
From Javon Holland's own words, it seems like he's out or at least going to test free agency.
What's the line they gave about Wilkins last year? He's earned the right to
he's
test.
He's earned the right to test.
I've never heard that phrase, and it'll stick in my brain for the rest of my life.
He's out of there.
He's out of here. See ya.
Yes. But I honestly think this could be a potential upgrade. And Malachi Starks, he's had an interesting career because, man, if you take just the first two seasons, you could convince me he was the best secondary player that Georgia had. Even as a freshman.
Pick.
Yeah, it's like top five pick level good. And early on, man, he played everywhere. Like, he played outside corner. He played slot. Mm-hmm. He played deep safety. He played dime linebacker sometimes. And he was good at all of it. This year, I think early on, had some tackling issues. Wasn't quite as sharp as he usually is. But I thought he closed the season really strong.
He did.
And he's that type of player. You know, we talked a bunch about when Anthony Weaver got hired by the Dolphins. One of the things that Baltimore likes to do is everything, you know? So get a player like Malachi Starks on the back end who can play a little bit of everywhere. I think that'll be a big boost for the Dolphins defense.
I like that one. Yeah, Starks has been trying to interesting to figure out, and this is about how this class is. It's truly just talent as opposed to position. You know, for the guys like tight ends and running backs and everything. But Starks is like, we had Saints for a little bit. Now going to the Dolphins, what you're saying with Holland. Oh, okay, yeah, this makes sense. And also just boost what they need. You know, it's like just they have some talented front players. They figured out at linebacker. The offense is the offense. Like, they could go offensive line here, and that would make a lot of sense, but that might be more of a day two thing. And these Shanahan guys are always like, we don't need that. We'll figure it out. It's like, yeah,
I was going to say, Nate, this definitely seems like a fan base, much like Seattle, that's just like, we are taking an offensive lineman. Anytime you don't give them a lineman, they're probably going to get in the comments and get a little heat.
And when it's just where they're picking two, it's like, some of the guys just don't make sense. Like, it feels, especially how we did the mock, like we had like Mbao go before that, Armand Mbao from Mizzou. So it was like, all right, you're kind of reaching on these other guys. And then like Tyler Booker, big, burly offensive guard, doesn't really make sense for that type of offense. Yeah. You know, so it was like just some of those fits that make sense for the offensive line. And plus, this just does make sense as far as what they need in the defense. And again, a versatile player too. It's like, you think, I hate to always do this, but like, think of the Kyle Hamilton role with the Ravens, which is just slot and safety. But that is kind of what Starks has that potential to do.
Guys, I feel like the Dolphins are one of the weirdest teams to think about this offseason. Like, everything just feels like it's kind of teetering on the edge a little bit. Offensively, you know, what is Tyreek Hill at this stage? Does he even really want to be there? I know he said, like, I'm out of here, and then walks it back.
He said everything.
I've got a lot. I got a lot of thoughts on that. It just the whole that side of the ball just feels weird enough as it is. And then defensively, I do like a lot of the things they did here, or they did last year. And you know, as much as I like what you're selling here, Charles, about Starks and everything there, I just don't think like safety in the first round is not going to be like, all right, now I understand what's going to happen with the Dolphins this year. So just overall, I like the pick. I just think from a big picture perspective, Charles, like, what are the Miami Dolphins at this point?
Soft.
Is this going to make them a little harder? Or?
No.
Yeah, okay, well.
That's a culture problem, though.
Right.
That's a culture problem.
Even looking at the reviews, NFLPA stuff.
Yeah.
And you see just kind of the coded messages about some of the stuff about them. It's like, no, it's a good place to work, but, you know, I just wish I had more of a coach that did this. And it was like, oh, wow. Okay.
I know I've said this 100 times, but if I was a Dolphins fan, it would not sit well with me that, like, those players on defense could not get Vic Fangio out of that building fast enough, and then he just went right up I-95 and won the Super Bowl. It's not quite the Saquon Barkley level embarrassment for the Giants, but you know, I don't know. It's within the neighborhood,
dude. I remember talking to Dolphins fans. They'd be like, "Oh, Vic's washed." I'm like,
whoops.
I was like, you don't know that.
Before their defensive line fell apart in 2023.
It really wasn't that bad.
No, they had like a month and a half where they were a legit top five defense. Like no, the Chiefs game in Frankfurt. I always just keep coming back to that. They were stonewalling them. And then they had a little stretch, and then a bunch of guys got hurt, you know, chopping everything in Phillips. So, but like that, he was still doing the right thing. It was, sorry you guys aren't pressing every play, you know, and you have to play off. It seemed to work for the Eagles this year, though.
If there's any Dolphins fans still listening, they're like, wait a second, why did they stick on my team and just, like, dunk on Miami? Like, let's move it on here. So, Nate, I think this is your last one. Give me your third and final one.
I'll go Barron. No, I had three. I'll give you a fourth, though. I'll go Ariante Ursier.
Did you give me three?
Yeah, I got Barron, Warren, and Walker. But
can I count?
I certainly can't.
Well, yeah, give me another one.
I'll give you another one. Ariante Ursery, which is the offensive tackle from Minnesota, going to the Chiefs at pick 31. And I think Charles nailed it, how he wrote this one up. Did you watch the Super Bowl? And that's all I need to leave it at. I think Ursery is getting a little underrated. I keep coming back to him. He's a long-term starter at Minnesota, plays left tackle, got great size. Good in the run game. He's a really good zone blocker by cutoffs and everything. I think pass protection, he is solid, has some stuff that he needs to work on, like inside moves. And he's more of a solid to good athlete as opposed to maybe a rare excellent one. That's why he's maybe drifting a little bit. But I feel like the slide's not making sense to me because I keep watching film on him. I'm like, he's doing well against going against Abdul Carter. He only lost once on one inside move. Other than that, Ursary controlled him throughout the rest of the game.
Maybe we'll talk about that with Abdul Carter a little later on in the
there you go. So with Ursary going to the Chiefs, I know they drafted Kingsley Suamataia last year, but that experiment seems to be like they're already aborting on it. And maybe he is a guard.
I was going to say, there's like a lot of talk this week that he could kick inside.
And that's even when I wrote him up last year.
Well, I don't know where he's going to play, if he's going to kick inside.
Well, then now they might franchise tag Trey Smith again. So it's like, it's all over the place. So, I think guard might be his future anyways. So they need to address that left tackle. Andy Reid is, we talk about this with the Eagles all the time. Andy Reid is going to be drafting offensive linemen as much as possible. He's always terrified. That's why they traded for Orlando Brown that year. That's why they tried to take Kingsley last year, is that he always wants to address the offensive line. Like, that is, like, he doesn't go into the season without having some answer there. Even the Juwan Taylor signing a few years ago. So that's why I just think, oh, man, that was such a hole. It literally cost them the season.
Right.
And, okay, let's address this with a guy that I think should actually be going about 10 spots higher.
Yeah, and like over address it too.
Yeah.
You can't have enough at this point.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, Kingsley, maybe he does become a backup tackle, backup guard, whatever. They obviously ran out of options last year. They're not going to do it this year. Okay, so apparently I can't count.
No, you cannot.
But you know what? Actually, let's not focus on that. One time I had a boss tell me, like, if you're ever doing a list, always an odd number. Always an odd number. So we can't have 3 and 3. That's an even number. So we'll have to do 3 and 4. Because 7 is an odd number.
No, but why odd? What's the science behind it?
He didn't explain the science to me, and I was too. It was too early in my career to question it. So I was like, cool. All right.
Okay.
Top 11, not top. Not top 10 for this
top
article.
101,
cool,
not 100.
Cool, got it. Okay, so Charles, you have to give me one more now.
No, because we're at 7. I already gave 3.
No, yeah, but collective. All right.
Get out of here.
What number am I on here? All right.
I gave three. He gave four.
Yeah, we're perfect. Good. Do you have another one, though?
No. Save it. All right. See, I told you I couldn't count. Okay. We're going to throw it to our last break. When we come back, we'll finish with our segment, Stand on the Table, right after this. All right, we're back. We are finishing up with a segment that we started on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast feed, so we're going to bring it to this episode of Football 301. Stand on the Table. Every time on the fantasy show that we bring somebody to do a little draft talk, we finish it with a prospect that you want to stand on the table for.
Should I actually stand on the table?
I mean, you can give it a shot, bro, but I'm...
No, I'm a little old.
I was going to say, also, your voice is failing.
Well, this would be the way just to crash out and fall on all the cameras and just end it right there and be done and
knock your voice back in.
Yes. They may need to be shocked. I'm going to get up there.
Wait till we're outroing the show. On that note, so Charles doesn't break the table. Nate, I'll let you go first.
Break the Spanish announcers table.
Huh? That would be me. No, I'm not trying to stand on the table. If I stand on the table,
she's going to be fat.
It's a little risky. It's a lie. So I try to focus on a guy that was not really projected first rounder, or maybe a couple other guys, but this is Devin Neal, running back from Kansas. I really like him. I have him as a top five back in this class, probably five. And I look at him as a late second, early third round pick. I think I'm one of the higher guys on him. I think he's a three down guy. He runs a little bit like Ray Rice, like in a weird way. They're not exactly the same build, but that's the guy that he kind of reminds me of. I think he has good hands as far as screens and everything, good vision, kind of just one of those backs that checks a lot of boxes, and a guy I really like because they can receive, do everything. So yeah, Devin Neal, and just also good character stuff as well. Maybe not the true ace in a backfield, but like a guy that I think deserves to maybe go a little higher. I snuck him in my top 50. I think he was 50 or 49. But yeah, I've been a big fan of him. My uncle coaches a disclaimer, uncle coaches at Kansas, so I watch a little bit more Kansas football than most people. And I'm always just like, this back, man.
No, he's a good player.
He's a good player, and he's got good size. So I'm kind of always just, maybe not that elite speed, and maybe he's not elite at anything, but that's fine, having a back that's good at a lot of things. So Devin Neal.
Dude, I was checking out Kansas football for Devin Neal for different reasons, because last summer when I first fired up CFB 25, Kansas was my team to play online with, because Devin Neal – dude, he was like the shiftiest back in the game. So then I was like, damn, this dude must be nice in real life. And he actually is.
He is.
Like,
he actually is. And the quarterback was fun, too. Yeah. Keep those shrimp away from me. So,
I'm looking at that.
St. Elmo's is walking around with shrimp, I'm just terrified of my allergies.
We don't even
now.
Need like a whiff coming over here.
Colin, can you grab one for me? I'm not even joking.
Okay, well, Nate, this is the guy you're standing on the table for. Yeah. So with running back, it always comes down to like, what team are they going to land on here? Give me just, I don't know, like what is a, you don't have to pick a specific team, but like an offense, a system, a rushing ecosystem you want to see him in.
I mean, he's good at a little bit of everything. Like if the Broncos want to wait till day two, that's one where, because I think Sean Payton would really like that skill set. Oh my God, actually a team, but I don't know if they'll do it. The Bengals. Like that would be one, because he can stay on the field. I think he's smart enough to stay on the field for all those downs and also handle the protection stuff. So those are two teams that come to mind for me. I mean, shoot, Cowboys. If they don't want to go down the overdrafting a guy too, that's another one that makes sense. But he's a versatile. I wouldn't like him so much for a zone team, a zone heavy team, or traditionally zone heavy team. I like him more on a power gap based team, just because I think his running style works better for that.
Well, that Bengals one is interesting because they certainly, I think, over the years could use to vary up their run game a little bit. And I was at Zach Taylor's media availability, and he was like, "We were playing Chase Brown like 100% of the snaps some games. We don't really want to be doing that. Like, he can handle it, but we really don't want to be doing that. So a nice secondary option there would be good. Okay, Charles, give me your player that you want to stand, figuratively stand on the table for.
I find this guy interesting because I feel like I watched Texas play all season, and all he did was just make big play after big play after big play. Crucial plays in the SEC championship game, crucial plays in the playoffs for them. Safety, Andrew Mukuba. I love watching him play.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one.
Because he is capital V violence out there on the field. I think if you go back and you watch, Georgia is driving down the field, the SC title game, and they're like on the 3-yard line, right? They're running a sweep. It looks wide open. This dude is shot out of a cannon and just car crashes, meets him at the 2-yard line. They're on a 3, meets him on the 2, And then later in that game, oh my God, the Colts mascot got me super so distracted. I'm so sorry. Then later,
shrimp in the Colts right, mascot.
I know,
Charles
it's
is
Friday on so Rio Row.
So if you remember the last, you remember the last play in the SEC title game, Carson Beck walks out with a limp arm.
Yeah.
The reason is because the play before, they were trying to run with Gunnar Stockton, and Makuba laid him out so hard that his helmet flew off and he helicoptered in the air. Why is a guy like that who played at Texas not getting more hype? You know, maybe he's not the cleanest coverage guy, but in terms of like being able to play downhill, being able to play a robber role, dude, that is someone I would kill to have on my defense.
And we think, you know, those headhunter guys, I think there's maybe a misevaluation from some of the guys. You remember Malik Mustafa, who the 49ers drafted. Some guys were a little going, is he too run first heavy and everything? If you play a bunch of quarters, which most defenses do now, it's fine. It's like, they don't have to be the best coverage guy because they're not all running straight back into the post. They're not going man-to-man with guys. So,
and he had some high moments as a rookie, too.
And so, like, that same type of thing where it's like, this guy's a run-first guy. Well, everyone runs quarters now, so that actually works in today's NFL.
And also, if I can find a safety who can have his heels at 12 and make a tackle plus two,
right?
Come on now.
Right.
And we're trying to fill alleys. We're trying to kill people, you know?
And that's how you, that's how you quote unquote stop the run with a light box, quote unquote. So it's like, that's the type of guy you need. I love those tone setter type safeties. It's always a sucker for him.
You know, I don't think, maybe he's not great deep, but in the middle of the field, I think he's got a lot of range. He's got long arms, really explosive. I'm a big fan.
Okay, so maybe not a guy that's for everybody, but the cover stuff, questionable, but capital V violent. I love how you phrase that. Give me like a specific defense that you think he might fit in.
Oh man, I'm not saying he could be like. I'm not saying he's the Cooper DeJean type player, but like in that role where you kind of keep him closer to the line of scrimmage. So you know, like we're talking about any defense that's running like spanning a lot of quarters.
Maybe New Orleans.
Maybe
Staley's
New Orleans,
there.
Right. If you don't take Starks at nine, maybe you grab Makuba.
Texans
on
maybe.
Day two. Texans. That's a good
maybe
one.
Yeah. They want
Ooh, Texans would be fun.
Texans maybe.
They already have like a tone setting secondary and edge pass rush. I think that.
And they
that
run
would
a lot of quarters.
Spicy.
That one.
Right. Yeah, because I when I was watching him, I got a lot of Dan Quinn. That hammer strong safety role, but he's not quite as big as guys like Keanu Neal or Cam Chancellor. So. I think maybe he needs to be back off a little bit, but he's a really, really good player, I think.
Oh, Bills, maybe?
Bills, that's a good one.
Bills, another
That's a good one. They definitely could use a little
They need
more
a physical guy
back from, there.
Because they want to run, they want to run too high every snap. I got a couple of receivers I like, too. Xavier Restrepo from Miami.
So, hey, Nate, I'm sure you're going to be back on the show at some point in the fantasy show receiver. In the next 2 months. So maybe save it.
I should. I got to plant the flag before these guys work out. So I was like, hey, let me just get their names out here real quick.
On the record. Yeah, Restrepo is a guy I'm really excited to get to. I haven't
He's
watched
him yet. He's slot only and everything, but I think he could be a real good number three. And then Torrey Horton from Colorado State. Got injured this year, but just watch him against Colorado in 2023. He's a real fun player, smooth athlete, too.
Well, I know Charles doesn't want to talk about receivers as he calls them fake football players. So on that note, boys, hell of a show. We learned a lot today, mostly from you guys. The only thing that we learned about me is that I absolutely cannot count maybe after a 20 combined hours of sleep since Monday. So Charles is eating the shrimp. See the live reaction here for the YouTube folks. This is
was a good amount. That was a good amount. I know. I was going to say.
Sign is clear.
Oh, man. I just got some secondhand.
Ooh.
Yeah, you may.
Oh, I feel so much better.
I just got secondhand horseradish.
I don't need you to get secondhand anything
no,
else
I know.
From this
After
room.
How yesterday morning went, no. Shellfish is off the diet. Thank God I live in the desert.
Bro, we should have had you take that before the show.
No,
I think it was fine. No. It was a fine show. All right. Appreciate you guys for doing this. If you are watching, listening out there, and you're a Football 301 subscriber, we appreciate you. Maybe check out the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. It's not – I know what you're thinking. Like, I'm a Football 301 listener, okay? I'm a smart football person. I don't stoop down to fantasy content. It's a fantasy show for you. We're not sitting there doing rankings and all that stuff. We're talking ball on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. If you are a Yahoo Fantasy Forecast listener, we appreciate the hell out of you. Definitely subscribe to Football 301 because if you like that show, you're gonna like that one. Although you probably get enough of me, so just listen to the ones that Charles is on. Those ones are better, anyways.
We're all just killing ourselves on this show.
Yes.
It's Friday, dog.
It's Friday, man. It has to be done.
Our confidence level.
I'm the only person not leaving today.
Oh, I know. I can't wait.
And you're the person that needs to get the hell out of here the most.
My flight's in 4 hours. I'm so excited.
He's Charles McDonald. Nate and him will be back on Football 301 on Thursday.
Yep.
Talking about God knows what.
Free agency.
We got free agency coming up. So, yeah, most likely free agency.
We will be back on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. Freaking tomorrow on Tuesday as you're listening to this, talking about free agency also. And hopefully by that time, I will have booked a great guest because I have not done that because I'm thinking about one thing at a time. Again, Nate_Tice on Twitter.
The Colts mascot is beating someone up right now.
Well, you're next, pal, if you don't stop interrupting my outro. I'm trying to get the hell out of this show. I'm Matt_BYB. I got to get the flight out of here. We all got to get out of here. Subscribe to Football 301. Subscribe to Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. Rate, like the show, subscribe, all that things. We're out of here. Let's end the show.
Bye.